The content found on thebestdayever.com from David Wolf and New Horizon Health, Inc. is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as treatment cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be construed as such because that would be illegal. Always work with a qualified health professional before making any changes to your diet, supplement use, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. Please understand that you assume all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Lucian Gauthier, and I'm here with David Avocado Wolf, our champion for superfoods and super herbs. Dave's here today to talk to us about using superfoods as our food. So, Dave, superfoods are something you've been talking about for a long time now. People don't always view superfoods as actual food, mostly as supplementation or something to do as a special treat, an elixir or a smoothie, something to snack on, or a meal to do every once in a while. Can you help us understand how to use superfoods as an actual food category? Specifically, using the polysaccharides to not only feed our immune system, but also to just feed us.
It's known exactly now what feeds your immune system and how to feed it and what molecules do it. And the polysaccharides do it. The polysaccharides in astragalus, the polysaccharides in the medicinal mushrooms, the polysaccharides in noni, the polysaccharides in aloe vera, they feed your immune system. It's nourishment. And so but it's not like, okay, I'm sick, I take this for the day, and then that's it. It's something that over time you keep nourishing it and you build it and it becomes stronger. Just like you would build a diet for your hair, skin, and nails and make those stronger over time, or your bones and make that stronger over time, or your nervous system, make that stronger over time. The Jing and Qi in particular, and to some degree Shen idea is about that momentum of constantly eating it like a food category. And when you've been doing that, and I know, Lou, that you have been doing that, and I've been doing this for years, you become completely immunologically in a different state of being than where other people are. You don't become sick. You're not susceptible. You know that your immune system is strong. You know that your immune system will react dual directionally. So if you're having like an allergy or an asthma, it brings it down. I used to have terrible allergies, terrible. I can't even remember the last time I had an allergic anything. I mean, I don't even have cat allergies really bothering me anymore. Definitely not hay fever or pollen allergies at all. And I definitely think it's the buildup, it's the momentum of the tonic herbs as a food category, of the superfoods as a food category, that actually has now changed that. And again, this is not anything new. This is a 5,000-year-old Taoist teaching. And when I found this out from Ron Teagarden and his teacher, Sung Jing Park, then I actually was like, whoa, this has been my experience too. This makes a lot of sense, and it strongly corroborated the whole idea, and it's part of that lineage, it's part of that teaching, and as a student of that teaching and that lineage, who's been very affected myself by the information I've gotten from those teachings, I pass it along to other people.
And Dave, let's go to some of the other great systems of the world and Amazonian herbalism. And where in Amazonian herbalism would they use herbs as food? The first thing that springs to my mind, obviously, is cacao.
I mean, our whole idea of, for example, Pau D'Arco tea, cat's claw tea, chuchu huasi, catuaba, wiripuama, sacha yorgon, they eat those down there. It's like a category of food. So they're eating the teas, they're eating those foods, they use them for cleansing, they use them in systems. It's just part of their way of life. It's part of the Shipibo way of life. It's part of most Amazonian tribes' way of life, because you can't survive there unless you do those things. There's too much immunological pressure coming in from parasites, insects, insect bites, insect poisons, poisons from animals, poisons from reptiles, poisons in the water. You have to have a robust immune system and nourish it in order to survive there.
So basically, we're just kind of paralleling that, because in our society, we have all the toxins and the pesticides and the other things that we need to be building up to immunologically. So would you say that, you know, we're fighting the same war that we've been fighting throughout the ages, but just on a different front?
Right. That's exactly it. And I do want to say that 50% of the detox mechanisms, getting the carcinogens out of your system, getting the volatile organic compounds out of your system, like benzene, things like that. It's immunological. Your immune system does it. Your white blood cells do it. So I love all the cleansing technologies that we learned from Ann Wigmore and the great juice fasting technologies and the colonics and all of that kind of stuff. And now we need to get the other piece, which is you got to get your immune system functioning properly and have those both going off at the same time. So you're doing the cleansing and you have the immune system that's working.
For people who are listening to this interview and they're thinking, well, I'm not really ready to have superfoods and super herbs be my only food. I agree that they might be food, but it's a different approach to make it my only food. What's a good transition way of looking at it? Is there foods that we definitely don't want to be eating because they challenge us immunologically and we don't want to be counteracting the effects of maybe the small amounts of superfoods and super herbs that someone might be taking? What should they be avoiding so they're not kind of stealing from Peter to pay Paul type of situation?
Okay, well, you want to avoid soda pop, obviously the potato chip kind of world, any kind of candy, any kind of heavily processed food, any kind of non-organic food, stuff that's just everything's cooked. You just want to get right to raw plants as best you can. That's what you want to be doing. So you're not burdening yourself, because after fried chicken, you're burdening yourself. There's no other way around it. It's put a burden on your system, and we're not even aware of it most of the time until we start coming off of it. Then we realize, whoa, it was there was so much weight of just did my body to deal with that. So that's one piece of it. The other piece of it is this is not something that's you only have this food category. It's part of the food categories, but you have them consistently. So the analogy that I like to use is, instead of taking vitamins, start taking superfoods and super herbs, and really take them, especially the super herbs, more in the beginning. Superfoods are rich. And most people are used to eating food that's there's a very big amount of food, but there's hardly any richness at all in terms of substance and minerals and nutrients. But when you start suddenly it's cacao or suddenly it's aloe vera, the substance is rich. So you start with a small amount of it. And the same could be true with super herbs, but super herbs generally open quicker, right? You can start with a small amount of reishi and then go to a bigger volume really fast because it's so gentle. Whereas, you can't do that with maca. You have to be careful in the amounts.
And Dave, for someone who's listening to this saying, I really tear through a lot of calories, I have a fast metabolism, I exercise, I work out, I have a busy life, where am I going to get my calories? What superfoods can we rely upon, and what super herbs can we use to kind of maximize our caloric intake?
Well, superfoods by definition are basically super herbs with calories. Like goji berry has calories, cacao has calories, maca has calories, and there's substance there. Aloe vera, the substance, you can run your whole day on aloe vera. That's kind of the distinction. I would recommend in the beginning, you just get your calories from cleaner sources of things that you are upgrading. For example, if someone was eating factory farm chicken, now they're suddenly on wild salmon. Okay, that's an upgrade on a calorie source. So you always want to upgrade your calorie sources. Mostly what's going to happen with superfoods and super herbs is you're kind of supplementing and extending your calorie sources until such time as you get past all that and you can basically live on superfoods, super herbs, smoothies. But even then, the calorie source for me on a super herb, superfood smoothie that I would have in the summer would be a dollop of almond butter in there or coconut butter or something, because that's got some calories in it.
All right, and for the person listening who might be new to superfoods or they've been doing them for a while and want to prioritize the superfoods they are taking, let's get your top five list of superfoods.
Ooh, okay. Chlorella, that's in my list. Aloe vera. I'm really a big fan of noni. It's a great summer thing, so I'm going to put noni in there. I like coconut products. I like hemp seed superfoods. They're really, especially them together, what a nice combination, because you get all that omega-3, omega-6, GLA, omega-9, and then you get all that super saturated fat too. So they kind of, they partner with each other. The union of opposites is always a good thing. And I put cacao on the list, and it definitely in the winter, maca and goji is in my list. Those are my favorite superfoods. And of course, bee pollen and honey and royal jelly. Can't leave those out.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us and giving us the updated information on superfoods and super herbs as your food. And we'd just like to thank you for everything that you're doing and all the information that you're imparting. And we really look forward to speaking to you again.
Thanks so much, Lou. Have the best day ever.